Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
All right, this evening we are going to be preaching on the second part of our study of Galatians chapter 1. Over the next several weeks, we'll be going through the whole book of Galatians, but tonight we will be talking about Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And this morning we talked about Paul's greeting to the church. We gave an introduction to Galatians and talked about Paul's greeting from verses 1 down through 5. And now this evening, verses 6 through 10, we talk about Paul's warning to the church at Galatia. His warning. So we'll start in verse 6. Paul says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And I'll just read the next verse as well, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." So Paul said, "I marvel, I am amazed." Now remember that Paul had taught this church. The church had been grounded in the gospel of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And now he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed." So very quickly, not long after they had been taught the truth, then they had started to move away. And the idea there of "so soon removed" has the idea of that they are moving away from it. It means so quickly moving away from, so soon removed. So they had already started to defect from the true gospel. Now remember, as we studied this morning, that false teachers had come into the church, and these teachers taught them that unless they were circumcised and kept the law of Moses, they could not be saved. And they also were teaching them that faith was good, but that it wasn't enough. They also needed to add to their faith the law of Moses, works of the law, Jewish ceremonies, all those kind of things. And the warning here that Paul gave to these folks in Galatia is a good warning for us today, because churches that have been grounded and taught the truth, it can just take a few years and they can be moved away from the truth and moved into error when it comes to the gospel. And so we want to be sure to stick with the true gospel here at Harmony Baptist Church and to preach that gospel. And so I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, when you move to another gospel, it's not really another gospel. And that's what he's saying there. It seems almost like a play on words, but what he's saying is, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ." By the way, when you change gospels, when you change the plan of salvation, you move away from God. Notice, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And then he says, "which is not another." Now, the gospel is good news. So what he's simply saying is, you've moved to another gospel, which is not really good news at all. It's really bad news, because it teaches salvation by works. "There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." To pervert the gospel means to change the gospel. That's the idea of to pervert. It means to change from good news into bad news in this case. So there were some that were trying to twist the gospel, pervert the gospel, change it. And the way they were changing it was simply by saying, it's not enough to believe in Christ. You also must keep the law. to be saved and to be sanctified. And that's what they were doing. So in doing that, they were perverting the gospel. They were changing it from good news to bad. Then Paul says this very strongly in Galatians 1:8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so Paul says, though we, the apostles, or an angel from heaven. By the way, when the devil comes into a church, he doesn't come with horns and a red tail, but he comes as an angel of light. And he appears to be something great and something true, and he preaches heresy. And so, though we are an angel from heaven. It's interesting that the Mormons say that they got their Book of Mormon by way of an angel named Moroni. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, Paul is very strong about what how we should judge people as far as our fellowship with them. We should judge them by whether or not they preach the true gospel. And it's amazing that churches oftentimes judge people by many other things other than do they preach the true gospel. For instance, I've noted before the church. Now, when I was a kid, I was in a Presbyterian church, and that's how I grew up. But then I went to another church and fellowship with other churches, and they were Baptist churches. But I found that within a certain group of those people, that if you were against contemporary Christian music and against women wearing breeches and against those kind of things, then you were good. And otherwise, you were a dirty compromiser and a liberal and all those kind of things. But the funny thing was is that they would fellowship with people that would distort the gospel so long as they were against certain kind of music and clothes. And it was strange. I went to a meeting one time where somebody was bragging about how many times their church members had been saved. And their church members got saved over and over again because they never were really saved, and they always preached people lost and said, if you do this, you're not really saved. If you do this, you're not really saved. And the church members would get saved again and again and again. They were bragging about that, but they were Baptist, and they believed right on what women should wear and on what kind of music and all these things, so they were okay. And that should not be the deciding factor should be where are they on the gospel. It is the gospel that determines whether people go to heaven or to hell. So that's the truly important thing. And when I was in Northern Ireland, I remember somebody they didn't walk out of the church. I don't know if I've ever preached and somebody's actually walked out of the church. The elderly ladies that sit in the back walked out of the church this morning, but that's because they had somewhere to go and I went too long. But anyway, I was preaching in church and this guy got mad at me and he never came back because in Northern Ireland, a lot of people believe if you're a Protestant, then you're saved. And so I simply said, you don't go to heaven just because you're a Protestant. You have to be born again. And that made him mad. And he never came back. And so there's people that believe that if you're this, if you're a Protestant, or if you're a Baptist, or if you're a Southern Baptist, some people believe, well, if they're Southern Baptist, then they must be good. And it's simply not true. We have to see what gospel they are teaching. I was saved as a young teenager, but I got mixed up by a false gospel from some literature that I got from the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Can you believe that? The literature taught a plan of salvation that was not biblical, and it was official literature. And my dad, he's at Grove Level, he got mad about it. He talked to them about it. And do you know that I talked to a preacher, I won't name the church, but anyway, I talked to him about this and said, look, this has messed me up. And I went, you know, a year doubting my salvation, trying to figure things out. And the preacher told me, he said, no, this is true. This is true. This is the way things are. This is the way it is. And then it was kind of funny. Several years later, they put out the same literature and they had changed it and taken that out and made it right. So either it was true before or it wasn't, because they changed it several years later. So you see, though we or an angel from heaven, Paul says, if we, the apostles, if Peter stands up and preaches a false gospel, let him be accursed. If I stand up and preach a false gospel, let me be accursed. And I'm simply saying that we judge people by who they're with or if they're a good person. Look, I've seen in the church I grew up in, the Presbyterian Church, there was rank heresy going on in the Presbyterian Church USA, and I have seen people compromise and hug it out and say, we're going to support the pastor, even though he's a part of this and supporting this heresy. And you wouldn't, if I told you the kind of heresy, it would make you sick. You've never heard of anything like it. But at any rate, we cannot just support people because they're nice people and because they dress right and because they believe right on certain things. We must see what they believe about Jesus Christ and his gospel, because that's what matters. Amen? Man. That's exactly true. And he can see our hearts. And so Paul says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. By the way, that's kind of what Jesus was saying there, since Roger brings up the heart. You know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. But Jesus said, what about the false prophets? He said, you may know them, you will know them by their fruits. Now, what kind of fruits does a false prophet produce? He comes to you in sheep's clothing, Jesus said. He's dressed right. He looks right. He looks like a believer. He looks like a sheep. But what kind of fruits does a false prophet produce? Well, false prophecies. Those are his fruits. So he comes to you in sheep's clothing. He looks right. He dresses right. But when he teaches, what he says is false. And how do you know it's false? Because it doesn't agree with Scripture. And you can mark it down if a man comes to you in a suit and tie or an angel from heaven and preaches any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, what does it mean to be accursed? Accursed is the Greek word anathema. And you may recognize that because the King James Bible actually uses that word. Anathema, maranatha, uses those two words together. And the word anathema means something that is devoted, and in this case, something that's devoted to condemnation. So it's saying, let him be accursed, let him be devoted to destruction, to condemnation. Now, what does that mean for us? It means simply this. And the early church would have understood that, this. If a person comes to you and preaches another gospel, treat them like they have the curse of God on them. Get them out of the church. Get them out. Excommunicate them. Get rid of them. Get them out of the church. And they would have understood that. They had all these false teachers coming into the church, and Paul is simply saying, these people have the curse of God on them. Get them out of your church. They're teaching heresy. Don't embrace them. Don't try to be Christ-like and love them. By the way, a lot of people are confused about what Christ was like, because Jesus stood up in front of the Pharisees and said, woe unto you, hypocrites. He called them, actually did that at dinner. He went to eat supper with some of them and did that. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And he said they were like whited sepulchers, graves that appear lovely on the outside, and inside they're full of dead men's bones and all kinds of hypocrisy. And Jesus did that at supper. I wouldn't have done it at supper. I'm glad it was the Lord and not me, because I would have eaten first. But nonetheless, Jesus condemned them. So that's what Jesus was like. Jesus was loving, but Jesus condemned false doctrine, false teachers. And Jesus loved sinners, but he was never as hard a preacher as towards religious sinners that were trying to use religion as a cloak for teaching false teaching. So we're supposed to get false teachers out of the church. And that's one of the reasons here why we have our membership class. Because if someone comes to the church that wants to teach a class, and by the time they get through our membership class, they will know what we believe. And it will hopefully weed out false teachers. This is a funny story. It wasn't funny then, but it's funny now. Let's see. I was out of high school, and I had not gone to Bible college yet. So I ran into this guy from a church I used to go to. If I named the church, it wasn't Whitfield, but it was another church. And if I named the church, everybody would know it, and I don't want to name it. But at any rate, because I've changed pastors several times, but I ran into this guy that used to go to that church, and he said, what are you doing? This is a guy, by the way, that I went on visitation with that told somebody, the teenager would not let us in his house, so this guy calls him on the phone and tells him, did you get saved last week? And the teenager says, yes, I got saved. And he says, well, are you going to come to church this Sunday? And the teenager said, well, I don't know if I'll come to your church this Sunday. And he said, well, I believe that if you were really saved, that you'll come to our church this Sunday. And so obviously he'd made that a part of salvation. So anyway, this guy was a little off his rocker. So I met him, and he said, now he's a Baptist. And by that time he was working as a youth pastor somewhere in town. And I handed him a gospel tract and said, I'm out soul winning. And I handed him God's Simple Plan of Salvation, which has been around for years, that tract. And he looked at it and said, well, we don't really believe in this kind of salvation here. We believe in lordship salvation. And I said, well, there's only one way of salvation. And he said, but that's not what we believe in lordship. That's our kind of salvation. And this guy's a youth pastor. That's crazy. But at any rate, if anyone preaches, he needed some teaching and training and help. But if anyone preaches any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Okay. Sorry, I got to go through some slides here because I've already preached that. All right, Galatians 1:9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you've received, let him be accursed. Now look at what Paul does here. He's just said that. So in case they miss it, to emphasize it, he said, as I said before, as we said before, as we just said, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now it's easy to tell what another gospel is. The gospel that Paul preached was justification by faith in Jesus Christ. All right? And he preached that we are justified by faith alone. The gospel was that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, rose from the dead, and we believe in him, we're justified, we're saved. Justification by faith alone. Any other gospel, any gospel that tries to add to that, put other conditions on that, say you have to do this, that, and the other thing to be saved. I have seen gospel tracts that had five different things you had to do to be saved. We will never pass out a tract like that here. It's heresy. Five things you have to do to be saved. And a lot of people get confused about this. Look, when you believe in Jesus Christ, God takes care of everything. Okay? Repentance is a gift of God. And so is faith, by the way. But when we believe the gospel, God, we're born again, and God gives us a change of mind, and he gives us faith that stays in Jesus Christ, and it's a work of God. It's a work of regeneration. It's not something that you try to do. I spent years before I was saved, before I was sure I was saved, trying to be sorry enough for my sins. And I never could figure out how to be sorry enough. I tried to turn from all my sins and couldn't figure out how to turn from all of them, because when I turned from as many as I could figure out to turn from, I'd figure out a new sin that I had not turned from. So how could I turn from all my sins? And so it was a wonderful day when my father opened the Bible and showed me the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and showed me that eternal life was a gift of God, and that I believed in Jesus Christ and I had received that gift, and assurance flooded my soul, and I knew that I was saved. And by the way, after I knew I was saved, I wanted to turn from my sins and to live for Jesus. Why? Because that's a result of being born again. But it's not something you have to work up and try and do that kind of thing. I don't want to go into the history. We'll be here all night. But at any rate, as I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you've received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That's powerful, isn't it? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. There's all kinds of things we can do to please people. By the way, some preachers are nothing more than hirelings. They're at the church to get a paycheck and whatever the people want, because as you know, the people are the boss. A lot of people think that. Actually, God is my boss. But people think, well, just whatever we can do to please the people and keep the money flowing and all those kind of things. But if we yet please men, we should not be the servants of Christ. When we preach the Bible, it will not always make people happy. Amen. This very message, there are some people I could preach this in front of, and they get mad at me. And so, I don't believe you're mad at me. Johnny's always mad at me. He looks mad right now. I missed having you here this morning. By the way, I'm looking forward to hearing him teach from Leviticus. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, Charles Spurgeon said this. I think this is a great quote. Those whom we try to please are our masters. If a man tries to please the populace or to please the refined few, these are his masters, and he will be their flair. But if he tries to please his God, then he is a free man indeed. How do you be free? Just try and please God. Try and make God happy. And if we do that, if we quit trying to please everyone else, but just please God, then we'll be free indeed. And I praise God for that. I feel in many ways since I've come to this church that I'm free. And I love that. And I don't ever want to preach anything that binds your conscience and that puts you in a situation where you're not free either to obey the Word of God and to follow God.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Visit us on the web at thenationsforchrist.com and harmonybconline.com.